In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Sunday begins a week of our enacting important steps and a very full week for Jesus as he was welcomed like a king on the streets of Jerusalem. He had the last meeting with his disciples and gave final instructions and final teachings, the betrayal and the abandonment, the tears, the false accusations, the humiliation, the agony, the execution, and the burial. We are going to participate in many details of this Holy Week over the next 6 days, but today's service is a compression of those top-level events, this summary of the end of Jesus' human ministry. Jesus had been loved, he had been honored, he'd been sought after, he had been followed. Peter, James, and John had finally begun to figure out who he was and what he was about and claimed him as Messiah. Why couldn't Jesus just stay under the radar of the powerful occupying Roman government? Why couldn't he lay low, stay out of sight from the paranoid temple leadership? I mean, we're all familiar, aren't we, with the fine art of staying under the radar? I think we all have times in our lives that we fine-tune that art. We keep ourselves quiet enough that we won't be noticed by people that we'd rather not have noticed us. I certainly remember my daughters sharpening those skills when they lived at home with us, when they were little girls, to stay out of trouble. Probably a more accurate definition, though, is that it wasn't really about them not getting in trouble. It was doing things quietly enough that they wouldn't get caught at getting in trouble. Our older daughter, Candace, now she really had this fine-tuned. She's out of state, so I can talk about her, but she might hear this in the recording. But Candace practiced a way of picking on Lori that would get Lori so angry and just red-faced and just so upset that she'd start yelling at Candace. Well, whose voice did I hear yelling? I heard Lori's voice yelling, and I'd tell Lori to stop acting so badly towards her sister, Candace. Act like a lady, I would say. But Dad, just stop it. Candace knew how to fly under the radar from a very young age. And I think we all have practice about laying low. An example I can relate to is you're driving down the highway and you see a highway patrol car on the side of the road. You could be going 10 miles under the speed limit, but do you slow down? Yes, we slow down, don't we? Yeah, we want to be low profile. Or when there's a need for somebody in the group to volunteer for a job opening that has to be filled, we have a way of looking extremely busy, don't we? And we never make eye contact with anyone else in the group. We know how to lay low. Well, I'm sure that Jesus knew everything he needed to know about human nature and could have easily avoided the outcome of this Holy Week journey to Jerusalem. But that was not what he chose to do. The Christian author Joan Chittister explains it this way. These final days of Holy Week confirm there are some things worth living for, even if we find ourselves having to die for them as well. There are things worth living for and things worth even needing to die for if we need to. Things like our family, principles that give our life meaning, defending someone who we see being wronged and we know they do not have the power to defend themselves. I think we're called to reflect as we make our own journey through Holy Week, what it is that motivates your life, what it is that is worth living for, what it is that is so important to you that you could see yourself dying to protect it. Jesus had reached the point in his work on earth that he knew the stand that he needed to take. And it was for a reason that was so important, so critical, that no hardship could step in the way. Hardships were unimportant to him to compare to accomplishing this thing he needed to accomplish. He had come to Jerusalem as the nation was getting ready to celebrate the Passover. And we need to remember that the Passover was the celebration marking the night when the slaves of Egypt were given the means to escape their captivity under Pharaoh and to begin a new life. And to this day, the Passover celebration within Judaism is exactly that reenactment, that reliving of this idea of dying to an old life of captivity and rising to a new life. And now it had to play out for Jesus. And he did this in order to provide you and me with our own Passover. We Christians are also in a process of passing from the end of one kind of life that is centered on the things of this world, the values of this world, the attitudes of this world, and we're moving to the beginning of a new life that's centered on the reign of God. Our goal and our vision and our objective is to enable the reign of God right here and right now, not when we die, right here and right now, in continuing forever. Jesus taught that this life as we know it is not the reason we were born. There's more to it than that. This life is not the purpose of our existence. This life is a spiritual stopover on the way to a new way of thinking and a new way of living. We're called to another way of life. And that change in our way of life takes commitment. It takes dedication. It takes a willingness to do whatever is necessary to do in order to take it on. Jesus took up his cross, and we surround our building with crosses to remind us of the cross that Jesus took up in order to move into his new life. And he boldly pronounced that I must go, and don't be upset about that, because I will send the Holy Spirit to be able to work through each of you to accomplish even more than I have accomplished. He took up his cross so that we could see the importance of taking up our own crosses in our life. Because these crosses need to be claimed and they need to be owned for us to model the life and to share the life that spreads God's reign. This is a reign of God that's desperately needed in families, is desperately needed in our neighborhoods, is desperately needed in this country and in every nation. I think we need to remember that there are very few of us in this country who have to carry this large, heavy wooden cross that Jesus carried. There certainly are Christians doing that, right? In Syria, in Palestine, across the Middle East, and even closer to this country. There are people who are carrying that large wooden cross for the sake of their faith. But we carry crosses too. And they can be little palm crosses, like the ones that we picked up today. And they take lots of forms that are not as severe as that big, heavy wooden cross. And maybe it's as simple as sharing our time or our money when we barely have enough of our own. Or maybe it's resolving an argument with someone, not for the sake of winning the argument, but for the sake of resolving the argument, whatever it takes. So I suggest for the coming year, as you have your palm at home, to remember we each have, once in a while, there's a big cross, but there are lots of these little crosses that are put on our path all year long. And we should remember it's part of our journey following Christ to carry the small crosses as well. Jesus knew that to fully live out the message he was to deliver, he had to step up. He had to be visible in the radar. And he had to be ready to die because the message was so important for us to hear. And his message was so important for us to make our own. I'd like to end this homily with a short prayer written by Saint Bonaventure in the mid-1200s. O Lord, Holy Father, show us what kind of man it is who is hanging for our sakes on the cross, whose suffering causes the rocks themselves to crack and crumble with compassion, whose death brings the dead back to life. Let my heart crack and crumble at the sight of him. Let my soul break apart with compassion for his suffering. Let it be shattered with grief at my sins for which he dies. And finally, let it be softened with devoted love for him. Amen.